Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Watching Dead. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And we have a little bit of special content for you today. This is a review of Night of the Living Dead. It's part of our Month of the Dead, but this was not recorded this month or even this year, in fact. It was recorded...
A time capsule.
2010. This was before you had ever heard of us, certainly, because this was before we had ever released anything.
This was in... We intended to go live with our flagship show of the first season of The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And you had the idea. This was all your idea.
You were pretty reluctant to do any kind of podcasting stuff.
Well, we wanted to do Mad Men. Then we wanted to do Breaking Bad. And these were all season three at the time. And we're like, God damn it, we fucked it up.
We kept missing our window.
Then you're like, hey, Walking Dead, I love these comics. It's a show we should get on. And I'm like, man, I don't know. I'm a horror pussy. I don't like zombie stuff. And you got me to read like the first compendium, and I'm like, okay, I guess I could get behind this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why we didn't. I don't recall why we didn't go live with Zombie Drill.
We got cold feet as we do on most of our projects.
Did we?
I think. Yeah, like we needed a website and like just a bunch of random stuff added up.
Yes, because, you know, even our first few times where we were doing the Breaking Good and Watching Dead, we had these and conceived as separate entities. We had separate Facebook pages, and quickly, once we got to our third show, we're like, this is stupid. What are we doing? We need to roll this all in the bald move.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, so this you wanted me to get steeped in zombie lore so it wouldn't seem like I was a complete idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And as a way to do that and to warm up the whole zombie drill thing, we decided to cover some of the seminal zombie movies. I had not seen any of them.
Yeah, no, these are the big ones. These are the Romero films, the grandfather of zombies, if you will. So we sat down in front of your fireplace. We recorded this thing. This was 5 years
very
ago.
Very romantic. It was on the bearskin rug.
Well, yeah, it was a poor choice given the reflective nature of the fireplace in the first place.
Sure.
As you'll probably hear in this thing, the audio quality is poor to say the least. We didn't have the equipment that we have now, obviously, and none of the knowledge. So it's going to sound pretty bad. Also, there's probably some shit in here that I'm not proud of. I think my opinion on Night of the Living Dead has changed quite a bit. Not as far as how important it is, but as far as some of the issues that it intentionally tried to deal with and some of them that it didn't and just happened to kind of stumble into.
Hmm.
So I'm not entirely on board with even my own review at this point, but that's the nature of the time capsule format, right?
Yeah, anytime you look back 5 years, there's a reason these have been unreleased up until now, and we thought it would be kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
To have this look back and see how, you know, kind of a what if we had gone down this path.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I think that some of this stuff is really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And you can definitely see the seeds of the Jim and Aaron experience here.
Yeah, just unpolished. But that's it. I mean,
like so many turds.
It's about an hour long, so enjoy. And we'll be back next week, I guess, with another one of these things. Or in a couple days, I think we're releasing another.
Yeah,
not certain.
We got one again next Wednesday, and then next Friday, and then next Wednesday, not the next Friday. Yeah, so you, actually, go to we just add something new due to a demand and our recognizing that we had a need here. Calendar.baldmove.com. You can see all of our release schedules for this month, and we're going to be populating out November here pretty soon.
And if you want to see what else is going on with Month of the Dead, there's a page for that. It's a giant banner across the top of our site. It says Month of the Dead. Click it. You can see how to enter contest, what kind of contest we're doing, what other kind of content we're doing, all that sort of stuff. Do you want to real quick tell people how they can enter the contest?
Yeah, you've only got two more days really to get it in there, but we need you to be signed up for Patreon or Subbable. You can get that at patreon.com/baldmove or subbable.com/baldmove. Those links are in the show notes. Subbable is no purchase necessary. You can sign up for free, so you don't actually have to give us money.
Mm-hmm.
Then you send us an email to watchingdead@baldmove.com and say you want to enter, because we're trying to – I'd just be happy to pull a random two people out of our existing Patreon and Subbable members, but not everybody can get to Atlanta to go to the Walker Stalker Con.
Mm-hmm.
These are really nice VIP passes. You get two per winner. So you can take your significant other, your brother or sister, or your zombie fan in your life. They're pretty significant prizes. It's a good time. We'd like to only give them out to people that can actually make use of them. Now, next week and every week in the rest of October, we'll have a general contest where we'll be giving away Walking Dead Blu-rays or DVDs, some zombie figurines, some other stuff.
A t-shirt from our store.
T-shirt from our store and a copy, a free copy of the book that I have recently written, the Walking Dead Survival Guide for Season 1. And if you're familiar with my survival guides, I basically did that for Season 1 and then wrote a little mini review and recap of each episode. Had a lot of fun doing it. It's something you can get on the Amazon store, but you can get a free copy if you win the contest.
Cool.
Be a link for that in the show notes as well.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this spiel up front, and enjoy the content. You're listening to the Zombie Drill Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the AMC series The Walking Dead.
Everybody, I'm back with episode 2 of Zombie Drill. This time I'm returning with a co-host, believe it or not. You might recognize him from baldmove.com and from Blue Yonder. He is...
A. Rod Hubbard.
Yeah, step up to that mic. Don't be afraid.
Not yet.
We have got a lot of stuff to cover this week. The show's not out yet, obviously, so we're going to do some news about the show. Going to do a review of Night of the Living Dead. And we're also going to do Zombie Survival Tip of the Week. So let's get right into it with some news. I was searching around the internet and saw this cool thing they're doing in Salt Lake City. It's a Walking Dead celebration. And it's going to happen Halloween night in the lead up to the episode airing. Put on by BigShinyRobot.com and the Geek Show podcast. I haven't actually listened to that podcast, but it could be cool. I mean, they're putting on a zombie celebration. Like I said, Halloween night, it's happening at Broovie's Cinema Pub for all you Salt Lake listeners. It's going to be a screening of 28 Days Later at 6 o'clock. And then there's going to be a costume contest. I assume zombie related, not Mary Poppins costume contest. That'd be kind of ridiculous. And, then they're going to do the premiere of The Walking Dead right there in the theater. So that sounds pretty awesome. Anybody who's in Salt Lake City should go check that out.
That's pretty cool. I told Jim about this at Gen Con this year. They actually had a zombie-themed after-party Friday night. And what they did is they assembled everyone at the convention center. And they had hundreds, probably not as many as two, but more than 100, people dressed up as zombies, and they all got together at the convention center, and then they shambled from the convention center to the bar. It was like a several blocks, and it was very, very cool seeing these zombies shambling down Washington Avenue the street.
Yeah, what if you're just walking down the street and you see hundreds of zombies walking down the road?
I watched from a window, and, it's Gen Con, so by that time people had seen Stormtroopers and slave girls.
So they know what's up.
So, yeah, but still, it was unsettling.
I bet, yeah. They do the zombie walks all around the country, like in San Francisco. I know there's one in Chicago.
It seems like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it would be cool to go to one of those. I've never been, though. Also, one other thing about that zombie celebration is that it's 21 or older, so if you got kids or something, sorry. Next piece of news is a fan actually made an opening credits sequence to The Walking Dead, and I'll post a link to this on the forums. I actually did an article about it on the website, made a blog post, but I don't know if everybody's listening or everybody who's listening is looking at the blog. So it's really cool. It's totally professionally done. It looks like what they did is they took graphics directly out of the comic book. Like, I think they actually ripped up their comic books and scanned them to get these graphics and then made this whole animation in this very, very cool style. With the credit sequence, with all the names and everything.
Yeah, they did a lot of, like, panning and jump cuts. And with the...
And layered, graphics.
And colors and stuff. So it is really nice looking.
Yeah, it's very cool. Also, they will be showing the first full scenes from The Walking Dead at New York Comic Con. And I'm not exactly sure when that is. I'm assuming it's before the show airs, but because it would be kind of ridiculous if not.
Exclusive case for the series that came out 2 days ago.
Some guy whips out his VHS camera and is like, I got these. Yeah, so if you're going to New York Comic Con, enjoy that. Also, they have just started releasing the graphic novels simultaneously in digital and print form. So now you can get them day and date when they come out in print. You can also get the digital form. And I actually did a post on the blog about, I think it's called Comics X or something like that. It's a comic book reader for the iPhone, which is really cool and I'm using.
That is hot. I like that.
Yeah.
That feature where... Like, Jim, the way he described that, I didn't get it, but then he put it in his hand. It's like, I thought he was talking about it's a page at a time, so you don't accidentally spoil yourself by thumbing through the comic. But it actually just shows a panel at a time.
Yeah.
It advances one panel, so it's like, you know, if you're reading a comic book, sometimes you're starting up the top left page, you see something at the bottom right, it's like, oh, this way, you just get it. It's, the impact is... I'm doing a bad job explaining it. The impact is such that it's, you know, very, it's like a page turner. You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, next panel.
Because I always get spoiled by, like, the comics that do the full page panels. Like, yeah. they'll have one a page of, like, four panels on the left and then a full page panel on the right. And how can you not look at that?
Yeah.
As soon as you see it, so.
It kind of reminded me of Playboy of all things. Made animated Hellboy comics. They took a couple of back when the movie was first released, the first Hellboy, they had taken a couple of classic Hellboy graphic novels and they had done kind of like a Walking Dead trailer treatment.
Yeah, yeah.
Made panning and a couple like, you know, a bird instead of it viewed freezer, like wake its way across a frame and did, you know, sound effects. And it was like one panel at a time and it does add some suspense to it.
That's
especially
cool.
For something like Hellboy or Walking Dead.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I think that's about it for news. We watched Night of the Living Dead last night, did we not?
We did. And I just want to say that, before we get too much further, I'm pretty much a zombie virgin.
The only zombie
film that I've seen is I Am Legend and Shaun of the Dead.
And I Am Legend is, I think, supposed to be vampires.
Well, the new one is not. The new one's pretty much...
New one is too, yeah.
But I think it's got much more akin to a zombie film than it does a vampire film.
I can see both of those. Sure. Wow. So you've got some catching up to do.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make you watch. Wow. I'm gonna make you watch all of the Dead movies.
Well, I talked to it was. One of my developers, it was his quarterly review today, so I took him out to eat for lunch, and he's a big horror film fan. And
cool.
I was talking about how, you know, I'm co-hosting this with you, and he said, I told him the same thing, and his, like, jaw dropped, and he, like, came up with a quick top five zombie film.
Uh-huh.
His favorite is Return of the Night of the Living Dead, I think. Kind of a campy one.
Yeah, yeah. Return of the Living Dead.
Return of the Living Dead, where because it's like, it's not necessarily the best quality. It's the first one he remembers seeing.
Sure,
so it's like
sure.
The first, you know, the first is always a special one.
That's a really good one. That's almost a comedy. It is.
It really is. I've seen a little bit of that on, like, you know, USA at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Sure.
But I'm going to touch on, when we get to the review, about why kind of horror films... I'm not necessarily horror film compatible.
Okay.
But, so it'll be an interesting experiment here. But he also mentioned, like, a Peter Jackson one. He said that zombie...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I forget what it was, but he said it's crazy.
I think it's called Brain Dead in some regions, and it's called... I can't think of the name. But it's definitely called Brain Dead in some regions.
Yeah. But Night of the Living Dead is right up there, too. The original. He said that was in his top five.
Yeah, Night of the Living Dead is a phenomenal movie. I actually had forgotten how good it was until we watched it the other night.
Yes.
And especially when you consider when it was made and for, like, what the budget was, it was actually pretty impressive.
And some genuinely tense, I won't say there's, like, frightening parts, but there was genuinely tense, you know, moments. And then the ending was just mind-blowing.
Yeah, the ending is really phenomenal. But let's go ahead and get into the review, I guess, since we're talking about it. First of all, a little background on it. This movie was made in 1968, and it's kind of a low-budget indie movie. I know he had some trouble raising the money, and like they said the budget was going to be $6,000 in the beginning, and it ended up turning into a lot more. It ended up, I think, $114,000. Wow. And they got it in like $6,000 increments. They were just like, we need more money. We need more money.
I'm actually surprised that's how much it cost, because the movie looks like it was shot, and I think this must have been a stylistic choice, but the movie looked like it was shot in like late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah, it did.
It's got that feel.
Sure, sure. And they shot it in black and white. I think that was a choice too. I'm not sure exactly what he was trying to say with that, but...
Well, I think it fits into a social commentary, because there's a lot of racial tones.
Yeah, yeah, there are. There's also connections to Vietnam, I think. There was a lot of stuff going on with Vietnam then. I don't know. When did the war start? Was it actually happening then, or it leading up to it?
I believe so.
In 68.
Oh, God. I'm much better at Civil War than Vietnam. But it seems like the height of Vietnam War is like 68 to 72.
Really? Okay. So it had just really kicked in. Yeah, but basically this film redefined the term zombie. They had used it in some movies, like the White Zombie, which was made in the 30s. And like I Walked with the Zombie or something like that, were really two of the only films that used it. And it usually was just like living people who are controlled by voodoo or some spell or curse.
Yeah. I mean, when you said redefined, it's literally true, because zombie had, it's got a definitive meaning, and it was all about, you know, voodoo and from the Haitian culture, and the zombie word is actually from that culture.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with the dead.
Exactly.
Nothing. So he took that and he turned it into the undead coming back to life.
Was the Z word actually used in this film?
I don't think so. I think they talked about them coming back to life, but I don't think they ever said zombie.
Yeah, I wonder what the first movie was to call, because I've noticed a lot of zombie movies don't call them zombies.
Yeah.
You know, like, in fact, that's kind of lampshaded in Shaun of the Dead, because they're like, don't say the dead word. They're zombies.
Yeah, yeah. Because nobody wants to believe that zombies could be roaming around.
Even when they're walking around.
Yeah, when you see them. Another cool thing about it is this film is actually in the public domain. This has no copyright.
How did that happen?
What happened is they made an original cut of it, and they were going to call it Night of the Flesh Eaters. And they had the copyright statements and everything in the title card there. And what happened is they changed the name, and whatever publishing company they were using neglected to put the copyright statement on. And I guess it's a law that you must have the copyright statement in the title card or something to actually have a copyright. And so when they released it without a copyright. And wow. So now it is totally free to replicate. In fact, I might have even posted to our website, because it is totally...
That sounds like total... I'll believe you can say it. I mean, it seems like technicality like that. I mean, if nothing else, they should have had some sort of copyright for maybe not the extensions that they grant a normal piece of work, but it seems like just by virtue of creating something, you should have the exclusive copyright to it.
Yeah, like an implied copyright like they do with websites and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah. But no, that's not the case. And George Romero actually was pretty angry about that. Him and John Rousseau, I guess, were the guys who wrote this, and they just got screwed out of their money. Because I guess he never saw a penny from the making of this, other than what he used to survive while making it.
It's like New Line Cinema claims that they never made money on Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, so let's go into the actual review of it. I wanted to talk up front just about some of the characters, like Johnny, one of the first characters you see, who's Barbara's brother. They're going up to the cemetery to visit their dad, I guess, in the grave. Mm-hmm. And this guy is the biggest complainer I've ever seen. Like, he is whining about everything at the starting of this movie.
Yes. He definitely is very much a dick. And I think that was maybe one of the first morals you could take away from the movie. The fact that, you know, it's such a big deal to pay respects to his relatives. And you know what? Well, the relative's going to climb out of the grave and kill him.
Yeah, respect the dead or they'll get
you. And he's 24 hours later, he's one of the dead, shambling dead.
And he is, like, constantly taunting Barbara.
Yes.
Like, he's not only a whiner, he's also a jerk. Like, he does not know when to stop with a joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I just thought it was hilarious. I also, one other thing I thought was hilarious about him is, did he remind you of Clark Kent? Like, any moment, I expected him to whip off his glasses and turn into Superman. And
I think the iconic glasses are what threw you, because okay. No, the dude did not look like either the Reeves version or the whoever the hell the new Superman guy.
But I felt like he sounded like him. Maybe I was just imagining that. Maybe it was the glasses. Anyway, speaking of the opening scene, let's talk a little bit about Barbara.
Okay.
What'd you think about Barbara?
Well, that kind of segues to my problem with horror films. I realized as I was watching this and thinking about it, because I got incredibly... I've often said I don't like horror films, and people think that I don't like them because they're too scary. I am not afraid of much, let alone a zombie film. But it does stress me out. And I realized that, you know, movies like Predator and Aliens do not stress me out, even though there are very tense things and scary things happening. And I think it's because the protagonists in those films are competent. You've got a team of veteran space marines with machine guns.
Sure.
Yes,
sure.
They might be making a hopeless last stand, but they're not doing deliberately stupid things and struggling to open doors and tripping,
tripping over their feet.
Heels.
Yep.
And Arnold, say no more, he actually does kill, you know, the big bad guy.
Sure.
And I thought about, like, you know, when I've had girlfriends or my son, when I watch them struggle with a video game that I'm competent at, I feel almost the same feeling of, like, I feel like I should be getting up and helping these people. Tripping that I need to assist this person part of my brain.
Sure.
I'm supposed to sit there and do nothing, and I just get tense and kind of angry and pissy. And Barbara hit all those buttons. You know, a calm, brisk walk, getting into a car and putting the keys in the car would have saved her.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she did die.
Yeah.
But she was a lot more nip and tuck than it should have been.
Well, she didn't have the keys. To be fair, they were in Johnny's pocket, I think.
Oh.
Well, because she pushed the car down the hill.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Anyway, but yeah, walking down the street, she falls over on her own feet.
Yeah, and just, like, you know, sat there in the car helplessly while this thing's bashing a brick against the window. Just anytime I see incompetent people do dumb things in a crisis situation, it really kicks in my, I need to step in there and help this person out. And so that's why it'll be interesting to see if I warm up to the other aspects. Now, I think that also the better a film is, the more I'm able to get over that and just absorb. Like, I thought I Am Legend was excellent because, you know, Will Smith was very good at making, you know, me connect with him.
Yeah, and he wasn't making dumb decisions.
No, he's also a very competent person.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a couple other horror films that have been really good, like Dracula.
Yeah.
I can't remember if there was, like, you know, if Lucy did stupid things in that or not, but the more well-made a film is, the more I tend to enjoy it. And I have a feeling that I'm going to be stressed out by a few of these things that you're going to show me. But, you know, in the name of science. And because in my mind, AMC can do no wrong.
Yeah.
So I'm very much interested to see what they're, like, in the Mad Men quality take of Walking Dead.
And they're also pulling from really good source material.
Yeah.
So,
because I've not read the series, and I don't plan on it. I read maybe 4 or 5 pages of the first, just on Jim's iPhone. Mm-hmm. And I've seen, you know, he's got a bunch of the graphic novels. I've seen their covers, and I've thumbed through a few. And I've got to say, I was very impressed, from what I could tell, by the dialogue and by the pencil and ink work on this graphic novel, The Walking Dead.
The interesting thing about that is actually there's a guy named Tony Moore who did the first 6 issues, I think, and he actually is no longer doing the art. So you might actually be disappointed or happy, depending on what you think of the new guy's artwork. Hmm. We'll see. Anyway, my thing with Barbara, I think you're right. She does a bunch of stupid stuff. I'm going to play devil's advocate and say maybe it's because she's traumatized by what she's been through. I mean, she gets attacked immediately right off the bat. Then the zombie chases her into the car. The zombie chases her out of the car. She sees this messed up corpse at the top of the stairs in the house. I mean, she's seen a lot. She's been through a lot. I can kind of give it to her that she's traumatized. But, I mean, yeah, you might be right. She's making a lot of dumb decisions right off the bat.
And she just seems to be that kind of stereotypically helpless heroine that needs to be saved. And that, I don't know, I just find that mildly annoying. And she's kind of, I kind of felt like her role is supposed to be like the audience. Like she's just every woman and, you know, because the hero guy, the I kind of think of him as a sheriff, even though I don't think he was.
Yeah, his name's Ben.
Yeah, Ben was like very much competent, and I think Barbara's supposed to be like just like every, you know, the bewildered. Oh my god, I can't believe this is happening. But I, like I said, I don't know. I saw myself closer to Ben than Barbara.
that brings me. Yeah, let's talk about Ben. Ben is a man who does not stage hammer.
No,
Ben.
Out of those barricades.
He hammers those windows closed like it's his job.
Right.
He really does.
I don't think he stage slaps either.
No, he really hit her. Romero was like, no, no, no. He the first time he did it, he didn't hit her.
Right.
Second time, Romero said, hit her.
Yeah, you can do better.
I haven't told her, but you're going to hit her this time.
Same with the one, the mouthy dude. That's like the guy that's like, oh, we got to get into the cellar.
Cooper.
Oh, I'm in the cellar.
Yeah, his name's Cooper. Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Which, I gotta say, I was kind of on his side in the whole cellar argument. What did barricading yourself in the house do that barricading yourself in the cellar wouldn't do better?
Well, the cellar, there's no way out. That's the problem. The zombies get in the house.
It's not like they were running from that house when there was, like, armies of zombies outside.
No, but what if the house gets set on fire or something? I mean, they're gonna be stuck.
Gonna run out to the, you know, horde of zombies?
It's that or burn to death? I mean, well, here's the better option. You go upstairs and you demolish the stairwell. Demolish zombies, the staircase.
These zombies, I don't think they've gotten the canon right yet, because these zombies are actually kind of clever. I mean, the one dude used the tool to smash open a window. He cut.
He ripped down the power and phone lines.
That was deliberate.
I think so, yeah.
He ripped down the power lines and the phone lines so that they were effectively cut off. So I don't know that demolishing the staircase. I mean, this is that Max Brooks.
Sure, the zombie survival guide.
Zombie survival guide. We'll probably get into this eventually. I have problems with that guide.
Huh, okay.
I don't know that destruction of staircase would be the end-all, be-all zombie defense strategy.
I think it would certainly be better than barricading yourself into the cellar, because then you have a way out. You have second-story windows, you can get out on the roof, you can do whatever. I mean, distract them on one side of the house and run off the other side of the house. So
yeah, that's true.
I think that's a better option than the cellar. Cooper, in my mind, was an imbecile. I mean, he is a bully when he can be. And when he runs up against someone like Ben, who won't take his crap, he then turns into a whiny, pig-headed, stubborn idiot who won't take advice, who won't listen to good ideas.
Right.
When he's presented with them.
Right.
So Cooper, to me, he's actually a really good character. I mean, he's well-written. He's consistent throughout the entire thing. Never does he change his tone or...
Yeah, he's consistently an ass.
Yeah, throughout the whole thing.
Right.
I think all the characters are actually strong for what they're being written as.
Right.
So the writing here is definitely good. The last person I want to talk about, there are a few other people, but Tom... He's like the farm boy, the younger guy, and he, to me, would make the perfect Robin.
Yeah.
He sounded like Robin. He looked like Robin.
Yeah.
Just put a cape and spandex on that man.
I would say holy adjective noun Batman.
That's what I was doing the entire movie. I was like, holy freaking zombies Batman.
Right. Holy walking dead.
Holy in the zombie head.
Holy zombie head. Yeah.
Anyway, so you touched on the canon of zombies and like Romero's take on them, and I kind of wanted to go over that a little bit more in depth and say what we noticed about them. Now let's not really take it from the aspect of how it stacks up to other zombie movies. I kind of want to just take it from the aspect of itself, like what were the zombies presented as in this movie? We already said they were clever.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to use tools. They were able to rip down power lines and phone lines. They were definitely the slow type.
There you go. Although
they were shamblers.
Not like, I mean, it depends on how decrepit the zombie was, because the one zombie at the cemetery was able to shamble pretty damn fast.
He shambled fast and he wrestled
just walk away
with the
from
dude.
That zombie. And yeah, he was.
He wrestled with what's his name?
Yeah, he had
Johnny.
He had some almost living coordination.
Yeah, so that was interesting take on it. They're definitely afraid of fire. We know that.
Yeah.
Because they were actively repelled by that torch.
Mm-hmm.
And he kicks that couch out, the flaming couch, and they freak out.
That'd be a good band name.
Flaming Couch?
Flaming Couch.
No, that'd be a bad band name. The other thing that I thought was crazy is the zombies don't make noise. Like, there are very few times.
There's a couple times in the movies, like,
yeah.
When they were getting whacked with flaming sticks, they didn't like that much.
But there's no constant, like, outside. No, like, no brains.
I mean, when was the first movie that where they actually...
It actually was Return of the Living Dead.
See, Michael said that, but
yeah.
I wasn't sure.
No, he's absolutely right. I actually heard that on one of the other Walking Dead
now
podcasts.
Now it's like, every single one, they're all moaning and brains. They were right. They're relatively silent unless you were inflicting pain upon them.
The other thing I thought was interesting that you don't see a lot is they eat creatures other than humans. Like, there was one that was eating, like, a cockroach off the tree or something.
They stop, pause, eat a bug.
Yeah, so they will eat animals and insects and whatever they can find.
Right.
Which...
There's ravens for living flesh is what I got that they... Almost like they had a hatred for the living.
Mm-hmm.
They want to eat life.
There's a zombie movie called The Dead Hate the Living.
Really?
Yeah.
I bet they do.
I noticed also that they didn't really look very decayed for the most part. And I think that's probably a budget thing.
That was a budget because I saw a couple money shots where there was a guy with a pretty rotted face.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a couple in there. So that they didn't really explain where those zombies came from. There's a nearby cemetery, but if you think about, zombies claw themselves out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
That is a hard thing to do.
That is an impossible thing to do, actually.
Yes, and they should have, if they were, their clothes. I mean, some of these people were, like, clothed like they just walked out of JCPenney.
Yeah.
They didn't have any mud or dirt on them. I mean, apparently
there
was, like, I don't know, a field full of dead people.
Maybe that's an open grave cemetery. I don't know.
It is. It's all mausoleum stuff.
Yeah, they came out of the crypts.
Sure,
there you go.
Sure.
We also mentioned that the quality of the film was... obviously worse than it could have been in 1968. It's black and white. It looks like it was shot on inferior film, because I've seen movies from 1968.
Well, like,
and they don't look like that.
When was Omega Man made?
Oh, Omega Man had to be 70s. I think 71, maybe?
But, I mean, there's not that many years apart, and the film stock, I mean, that was very... I mean, we saw Blu-ray, and it looked gorgeous.
Yeah, it had been restored for Blu-ray.
Right, and we were watching a digital version, but still, I mean, the film stock for Night of Living Dead was just kind of
an old
throwback matinee horror style.
Yeah, and
Ed Wood style almost.
The music really lended to that as well. Like, it was very dramatic music with strings and piano.
It was not contemporary at all.
Not at all.
Especially compared that to Omega Man, who had contemporary, like, weird-ass jazz music.
Sure, yeah.
Inappropriate points.
Yeah, that was the weirdest thing. Okay, we'll talk about that later. Anyway, did you want to talk a little bit about the, like, racial overtones? Because I didn't pick up a whole lot on that, even though I know they're there. I wasn't really looking for them.
Well, I mean, I guess the only overtones I was getting was that there was... I thought that was some of the beef between Ben and... Who did you say the other guy was?
Cooper.
Yeah, it's like, what's this black guy doing trying to run the show? I also thought it was kind of a little commentary that, a mob of white people at the end killed this resourceful, intelligent black guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm bringing some of this to the table myself, but I got it. I that's what I got out of, and I thought that was one of the reasons where that they chose to do black and white, but...
Yeah, like I said, I wasn't really paying attention to that part of it.
What social commentary did you see?
Not a whole lot. I mean, I know it's there, but I'm less interested in that with The Night of the Living Dead. I was more interested in it from almost like a documentary perspective, like looking at Romero's earliest work.
Well, and that kicked it off. I mean, you can study that the same way people study Castle Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
I mean, this is Blaze's new territory.
Exactly.
He gave birth to a whole genre of film.
And zombie. A genre that I love. Yep. I'm a huge zombie fan. There were a few things that I noticed while watching the movie. Like I said, I was trying to pick up certain things. They had a really, really effective use of the radio. I don't know if you remember when Ben was sealing up the house. Yeah. The entire time, they were playing the news in the background, setting up all of the plot and all of the backstory while something interesting was going on the screen. And something that had to be done, and something where you could do it without saying any words.
Yeah.
And you would do it without saying any words. Who would talk while they're hammering boards onto a window?
Is a way, like, if you're right, it's so efficient. They got away with giving us 3 minutes of exposition and showing three, like, you would, if they showed that without the exposition, you'd be like, oh my effing God, why am I watching this guy do chores?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I've seen him hammer one board, why 30?
It'd be like watching some dude winterize a home.
Or if you just listen to the audio, you'd be like, oh, they're gonna just lay out the whole freaking story right now.
They had the characters just sit down and be like Basil Exposition.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. But combining them, I think, was a stroke of genius.
Very savvy, very savvy.
Yeah. And speaking of the radio, or the TV, I guess, was this invasion caused by radiation? Is that what they said?
Yeah.
Radiation. I think what they said is it's from space. It's from the Mars probe.
Yeah, they implied it was from some satellite or something.
Yeah,
like
that had been sent to Mars or had an encounter at Mars or something, and it came back and there was this burst of radiation, and then people started coming back from the dead.
Yeah.
So, alien radiation created zombies. I like it. I also noticed that in the house, they were too scared to turn the lights off because they never turned the lights off.
Even when it would make sense to do so. Because obviously it seemed like the zombies were attracted to the movement. And
yeah, it would make sense to shut off the lights, pretend like you're not there. Because it showed a scene where the zombies were coming after them and they like lost track of them and they lost interest and just started shambling around. So if you shut down the lights, be quiet, don't do anything, they might shamble off.
Right.
But I think they were just too scared to turn those lights off.
That was kind of ironic, now that you mention it, that like Ben was so resistant about going down to the basement or the cellar, but he actually did that and it saved his life.
Well, it temporarily saved his life.
He lived through the initial crisis and, you know, pretty much passed out and fell asleep unconscious. So I still think cellar is the way to go.
Okay, well, you can go to the cellar. I'll go upstairs, and I'll see you on the other side. The other thing that I thought was absolutely ridiculous, and this goes back to Tom and him being just this dumb country boy, man. The gasoline scene. The scene where they're trying to fill up the truck with gas, and he goes out there, and they've got the torch out there, and they're fending off the zombies with the torch. He lays it on the ground, and then Tom just sprays gasoline everywhere. I mean, this man is hosing down the truck with gasoline.
Yeah, right.
They blow the lock off. He grabs it and just sprays it immediately all over the place. And, of course, everything catches fire. And then he drives off in the truck, and it blows up.
Right.
Gee, imagine that. Like, this is the clumsiest man in the world. Whoops! Yeah. There goes the fire and the gasoline.
Again, stressed me out a little bit to see, like, so much stupidity and incompetence.
Totally. I guess just a fun fact, when Johnny says, "They're coming to get you, Barbara."
He just wanted to do your impersonation.
I did. He's actually imitating Boris Karloff in some of his favorite.
Really? Because I've never heard Boris Karloff in a speaking role.
Is there anything else you want to say about that, or are we ready to move on?
No, good. I'm good to go.
Okay, then we are going to move into Zombie Survival Tip of the Week.
All right.
And this week, the Zombie Survival Tip is be paranoid.
Because sometimes they really are out to get you.
Yes, they are. In this case, the zombies want to get you.
How does paranoia serve you? Speaking in your capacity as a zombie expert, how has paranoia served you during the zombie apocalypse?
Okay, the way in which paranoia serves you is it will keep you alert. It will keep you from doing the dumb things that you hate to see people do. Like, let's say you're walking through a hospital, and This will be taken right out of the Walking Dead trailer. Mm-hmm. Rick wakes up in the hospital. He's been shot. He has no idea what's going on. No idea that the zombie invasion has happened. And he's walking through the halls of the hospital totally abandoned. Now, he comes upon a set of double doors that say, "Don't open, dead inside." What do you do with those doors?
I would...
And they're barricaded.
I would instantly shut the doors in the zombie's face and re-barricade it.
No, no, no. I'm saying you just walk up to these doors. They're not open.
Oh.
They're barricaded shut. They say, "Don't open, dead inside."
Oh, well...
Do you open them?
I don't know, because you gotta... In this circumstance,
oh, God.
In a completely abandoned hospital, you kind of got to see what you're up against.
Now you're stressing me out, man.
I don't know. I mean, maybe there's a different way to do some recon, but I don't know.
I just think you heed that warning.
If you open the door and you see a cafeteria full of the Walking Dead,
sure.
Damn sure don't drop the barricade, stand there in horror until one of them grabs you.
And fall over, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Anyway, I would say paranoia would help you to avoid that situation exactly. Be paranoid when you see something written on the wall. Be paranoid when you hear a noise in the distance or behind you. Like, turn around, but don't be so paranoid that you forget your other surroundings. Because if you spin around to hear a noise, to look at a noise, and three zombies are on the other side of you, you're going to get eaten. So you want to be paranoid to a certain level.
Well, the other thing is, like, you don't want to be the wandering hillbillies to shoot the survivor in the head just because he might be a zombie, too.
Yeah,
I mean, be paranoid, true. But, I mean, my idea of paranoid is, you know, entering a house, going through all the closets, making sure, and then still sleeping with your back against a corner.
Yeah, or your back up against the door or something. Yeah.
Well, back against the door, they might get you there, but I'm talking about a sturdy corner in the house, like, you know, and sleep with your back to that.
Sure.
Sitting up with the shotgun cradled in your arm.
Yeah, be paranoid. Might save your life. Yeah, just don't treat it like the zombie apocalypse is everyday life. Don't act like you're going to work in the morning. Don't act like you're going to Walmart.
How exhausting that would be to, like, you always have to have your gun up.
Yeah.
You always have to be on high alert. It'd be like a combat mission that never ends.
Yeah, it would be unbelievable. Hopefully it doesn't happen. not very good odds on that.
Yeah. Did you hear, speaking of odds, the Vegas sports book has taken odds on when aliens will contact? And it's like...
Yep. I would take that bet so fast on the one side, because it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Not for a long time.
$1 million. It's just like for next year. Put $1 million on the one side, because you will get $1 million at
the
end of it.
Yeah, most likely.
So, or it's probably, what is that? So you'd have to put up $1 million to win $100, or to win $10,000.
Oh, is that right?
If it's 10 to 1, that means you have to put. If it's 100 to 1, you have to put up. If you put up $1, you win $100. On the converse side, you have to put up $100 to win $1.
Oh, okay.
You need $1 million to make $10,000.
That's not worth it.
No,
not worth it at all.
Unless you thought there's an outside chance of us making alien contact next year, and then knock yourself out, put down $1,000, and you got $1 million. I can't do math. I think you only have 100,000.
So. I'll tell you what, we'll lay $1 billion to 1 odds.
Billion?
That zombies are going to invade next year. So anybody with $1 billion, put it down and you'll win one. Anyway, that's all I've got. What do you think?
I'm excited to see The Walking Dead.
Oh, so am I.
What AMC comes up with.
Okay, before we leave, we're going to do a little bit of housekeeping.
You can send your questions and comments to safehouse@zombiedrill.com. Maybe some of our listeners can clue me in as to some of the metaphor and meaning behind Night of Living Dead.
Go visit us on zombiedrill.com. There's a lot of stuff up there. I keep a blog, which I post to every day. Also, you can find our forums there. There's a link in the sidebar. And we just got accepted to the Walking Dead Podcast Network. It's run by the guys from forumforgeeks.com. Go over there, check that out. There are three other podcasts, I think. There's The Talking Dead, there's Walking Dead TV Podcast.
There's The Walking Dead Cast.
There's The Walking Dead Cast, yeah. And then us.
Yes.
Also, we're on Twitter. If you go to twitter.com/zombiedrill, you can find us there. on Facebook, of course. Just search for Zombie Drill. You'll find us.
I was going to say the listeners might be interested in the Zombie Survival Cast. We've done.
Oh, yeah.
We did the Zombie Survival Draft on baldmove.com, and we also did, which that's on our editor's choice. If you go to baldmove.com, it's at the top. It's one of our top three casts. And we also did a Zombie Survival, which I don't think we've released yet.
We haven't released that yet. It'll be coming out soon.
Get that app cross-posted to Zombie Drill.
Yeah, sounds good. And next week we will be doing a review of either Night of the Living Dead 1990 version remake or Dawn of the Dead. I'm not sure which yet. Depends on which one Aaron here wants to watch.
I have no opinion, so whichever one you want to inflict upon me.
Okay, there's going to be Night of the Living Dead 1990 version.
Okay.
Totally remade with different cast, everything.
Is it the same story, though?
I don't know. I've never actually seen this one.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's the one. We'll have to both go into it as virgins.
Okay, sounds good. All right, that'll do it for the Zombie Drill podcast, episode number 2. Until next time, I'm Gino.
And I'm Aaron.